It's time to spark it up with the Kennel Linguists.
I mean, look what happened in Colorado. They're like, oh, Colorado's going to run out of weed.
The fact that you got to go to McDonald's and get a value meal supersized on the state, that never happens anywhere.
With your hosts, April O'Connor.
You need to smoke weed after you go to the whorehouse because you're kind of being contemplative and wondering. Like a store gun store. Check cash in place. Sounds familiar.
And Alex Mandelberg.
It's like Tyson hit her in the vagina. That, I feel like, is where the line is. I feel like the line is, if it can make you better, it's performance enhancing.
I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but about Apple.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Today we're going to be talking about the first church of cannabis, Mormon mom treating her cancer with weed, Tommy Chong giving the mayor a joint, and Willie Nelson launching his own marijuana company. We are the Cannelinguists. I am Alex Mandelberg. With me, my stoniest, most awesome co-host, April O'Connor.
Hello.
And our guest this week, the long-awaited awesome Justin Ruppel. As well as our long-awaited MIDI board that we've been talking about on every episode since episode 3.
It's way too far away from me right now.
Is that intense?
I don't think I can speak after that.
It's too far away.
April wants to reach her MIDI board right now. She's just reaching for it so she can press buttons. You've been waiting for this for too long. How you doing, Justin?
I'm great. Not as excitable as the board.
No. The board has. We've been talking about this board since like episode 3. You're going to be episode 20. So this has been like stoners. We procrastinated.
Wait a second.
Wait
a second. I'm episode 20 in the month of April.
Well, yeah.
Oh, and yeah, a little 420. Yeah. Oh, I see what you're doing there. That's cute.
It's always like 420.
I see what you're doing there. you're playing a little game there.
A little bit. So our first thing up on the docket, in the wake of Indiana's Religious Freedom Act, the First Church of Cannabis has been approved and passed in the state of Indiana, because when you hate gay people, they'll find a way to take advantage of you some way or another. Like, oh, you want to hold us down? Well, we'll open weed churches and see how you like that with your religious freedom.
Well, you knew it was bound to happen. I was just making that argument the other day. I mean, once people are like, well, listen, with my religion, you can't force me to do whatever. With the religious freedom part of the Constitution and the Bill of Rights that protects your freedoms, worship comes with ceremonies.
Yeah.
And if a ceremony is developed with a illegal substance, it doesn't matter. You can't touch it. There's a lot of things you can't do.
Well, we had this back in like a long time ago with the Caustic Church. That this was when this first started coming up. They were the guys who were – now, they give marijuana to kids, which was probably not – I'm not condoning that. But it's not unheard of ground, a church that uses marijuana as a religious herb.
I mean, it and the Rastafarians for, at least since the 1960s or 70s had claimed it was part of their religious study to smoke marijuana. Now, if you go back into that, it's not necessarily the cleanest and most non-crazy thing you've ever heard. But every time someone goes, well, I want to discriminate against something or keep away from something using my religious freedom, I've always wondered when someone's just going to wake up and say, well, my religion is the religion of cocaine, and I'm just going to build a pile of it, and I'm going to pray to it every day. I'm going to set it up. I'm always going to face south. You know,
saying hello to my little friend.
Right, exactly. I'm just going to bow down into a mountain of it every night. I mean, realistically, with all the freedoms that religion gets, then, why not? I mean, a lot of people have done that. This is a way to get back at it. It's genius.
Yeah. It's nothing would be it was kind of funny because when I first heard about it, the first thought in my mind was like, Oh fuck! Why didn't I think it? Why didn't I create a weed church?
Oh no,
that would have just been
no.
The Canitarians. They're called the Canitarians.
Of course they are. Of course they are.
The Canitarians.
See, Alex, the
Presbyterian.
They'll plan to grow hemp, but they won't buy or sell it, marijuana.
Right. Alex, yeah. Every stoner in the world has already thought of this idea 1,000 times over. They thought of it every day, but they never did anything about it.
But this is in the wake of the whole, you know,
right.
The Religious Freedom Restoration Act, which is everybody's making a big stink about.
Yeah, it's,
you know, and
which is doubling down, because I went to a Burger King today, and the sign that you can buy at any store in America that sells signs that says, "We reserve the right to refuse service to anyone."
Yeah.
That is a right given to every single consumer-based store in America. So to make some sort of stupid law, they're just trying to manipulate and make a law where religion exempts you.
That's
and
a
so,
good point, actually, well, to point out that those signs are in every store. It's not like stores in this country don't have a right to refuse service to people. Of course they're right.
That's
every store is right, is to go, no, I'm not going to serve you.
Of course, that already exists. And that's why when I saw that happen, April, I was thinking the same thing you were. I was thinking, you just opened up Pandora's box here, because now this is a nice little window to say, well, why don't I just make a church to whatever the hell I want?
Yeah.
And who are you to judge? And this is going to be a nice little...
I was watching a piece, and it was... it was the guy who signed this act in he talked about that, you know, 20 years ago Clinton had, you know, actually started to put this in motion, and that they were just reserving their rights. And he was kind of, every time the guy tried to insinuate and dance around the fact that it was totally about, you know, religion and you know, their reason to want to, like, discriminate against gay people,
yeah.
he kept ignoring that completely. And then this is kind of like a, hey,
well, everybody in Indiana is, since this law has been passed and the news has come out, for those of you who don't know, every politician in Indiana has been, if they ran backwards any further, they trip over themselves. It's amazing the backpedaling that's gone on. We've already had another law that got signed that was basically kind of sort of making sure that discrimination wouldn't take place. But like we said, laws were already on the books that gave these businesses right to refuse service to anyone. It was just them wanting to go on record saying, we can do whatever we want as long as we claim it's for our religion.
But the difference is that their sexuality isn't listed as a reason that, you know, can be protected by law against discrimination.
Yeah. I want to go on record
now.
They amended that.
I want to go on record saying that.
Literally?
I'm not kidding.
Yeah, they did.
Here's what's happened.
The other day. They've done it since last week, really?
Yeah, they did. The governor got back on and he said, I want to come on and say, by the way, that has nothing to do with this nice little sentence. And they added it.
Yeah.
I watched him get eaten alive by this guy interviewing him, and he kept dancing around and going, no.
And it was 2 days after that that he had to come on.
It was bad.
It was on The Daily Show. They brought it up on Tuesday where they're like, you got to see this. He actually added the sentence, and he's like, not on sexual grounds, I promise you. And my favorite thing is that – hold on a second. The favorite thing is they always use the cake analogy.
Yeah.
What if a baker, you had to go in and be like, what if a baker was like, you know, I want to make a cake for, you know, it says Hail Satan. He's the ultimate overlord. And I'm like, wait a second.
I have seen a cake like this when I used to throw an open mic.
I've seen cakes in the
later.
Shape of every part of the male body that I wish I didn't have to look at made into a cake.
But what I'm thinking to myself is, so wait a second. To you, you think Satan cake is the same as Gary loves Steve. I love you forever. Your loving husband, Steve,
is the same as Happy Birthday, Satan.
Suck my Satan. You know, like, it's just the worst possible. It's just
oh my god.
Horribly. Perfect.
I want to go on record now because nothing upsets me more than the, here's the thing. You know, I know a lot of people, it's not a popular thing nowadays to say that you have any kind of religion at all, but I am sorry. I'm Jewish. I do believe in some form of something that is a god. And I hate that it has become affiliated that anybody who has that same feeling like I do also probably hates gays, probably is a republic. Like, I hate that there's a stigma now that if you're religious, you also hate gays. It sucks. It sucks that that sure. is what that's like what the pop, like, not popular, obviously, but that seems to be what people think. I feel like when people hear that as a religious person, you immediately have to start defending like, yeah, but I'm cool with gay people and I'm cool with equal rights and all that stuff. What is it with these religious people and thinking like, yeah, but I can judge people because I'm religious?
Because you know the answer to this. We shouldn't get into it.
But then they suck dick on the side.
Yeah, it's true.
All right. I'll make it real simple.
It's the canon linguist. We're allowed to tangent.
If they can't have their little secret stuff, if it's all out in the open.
Here's the reason. Because when it comes down to biology, every other species on the planet perhaps is not as conscious as we are. We don't know, but let's just say they're not. If they're not, the only reason they're here is to fornicate and recreate, right?
Yeah.
Just like theoretically we are. We're just very conscious of our death, right? And because of that, we've made a nice little life for ourselves.
Some animals will fuck anything, though.
Like us.
That's us, too. You mean like humans?
Do you not know any men? They will fornicate with anything.
Yeah, yeah.
But my point is,
I've met guys who, if you name a hole in a wall a woman's name, they're like, yeah, I'll fuck that. Yeah, is her name Susie? I like that.
Winning.
April's going crazy on the MIDI board.
My point is this: why is
I'll
it?
Try to keep it to why one is every it when 5 minutes.
Why is it when the religious thing is it always the hating of the gays? Because if you look at most religious texts, there's always something shaming people about sexuality, because if you can shame them, then maybe there's a way you can control them from doing the thing that we're set up to do by our biology. Henceforth, every time you have a sexual thought, you feel shame. And if that happens, every time you look at something and you're like, wow, that's attractive, then you immediately think God hates you. And then so you look at somebody like a gay person who it takes a lot of courage to step out and say, look, I'm going to actually say openly to the public, this is the type of person I sleep with. No one else has to deal with that. Straight people don't have to deal with that. They don't be like, you know what? I like to sleep with this type of person. That's not broadcast for straight people. So when a religious person looks out and
unless you're into some kinky shit.
Well, right. But then you don't wear, well, unless you're
no,
like,
but see that, but see April, that's not even true because I, as someone who occasionally goes to some kink clubs and stuff like that, I know for a fact that if you run into me outside of those places, I'm wearing a hockey jersey, I'm wearing jeans, I'm wearing a ball cap. You wouldn't know that I'm the type of person going there.
Correct.
That I can hide that. That's the thing. If I'm walking down the street holding my boyfriend's hand, there's no hiding the fact that I'm with my boyfriend.
Right. And that's what I'm saying. And people love people who are uncomfortable around or never had been around open gay people. Will be like, oh, do you think they are? And they'll be talking about people that, you know, it's none of their business, but that's what happens. That's a tag along that comes with that.
Yeah.
So,
no, I mean, listen, I'll be the first to admit, it's thing that when you go to places where these things aren't prevalent. Listen, I went to a place in the South with my girlfriend down in Arkansas where I was asked in all earnest as a Jewish person how much I knew about 9/11 before it happened. That was a question that I had to answer. It was
in the South.
This is in the South. This is in Arkansas.
Here's how I will tie it back into what we were talking about earlier. Weed is the same exact shame, except it's society without religion, which is almost why weed is the closest thing to my religion as it gets without being one. I don't talk about it. You know, openly, I don't discuss it, and you know, in
which is the best kind of religious person there is,
right?
The one who keeps
because
it to them fucking selves.
I don't think it's for everybody. You know, it nothing is for everybody. Everybody is going to like different things, and for me to say what you will like is ridiculous. What I will say is what I like about things, and that's all I can say.
Well, but and, here's my question though. Is there ever a world that exists where you would defend cannabis the way people in the past have defended God?
Of course. But I realize but the difference between me defending cannabis and me and listening to religious people defend God is that I know I'm talking about a plant and something that alters my mind. I know it alters my mind. Like the second I use it, I'm like, well, I'm in an altered state. People on religion don't want to admit that.
Okay.
So that's the difference.
I think it's refreshing, though, that some people, regardless of their religion, will choose, you know, love or in some cases cannabis.
Yeah, I mean,
you know, like there, you've got the people that are like, "Fuck it, I don't care what my religion says. I'm gonna, you're my son.
Well, yeah,
my son or daughter. I'm gonna love you no matter what." And then you've got people that their religion would or their culture will not let them smoke cannabis, but they want to save their loved one and they want to give, you know.
Well,
give
yeah,
them,
that
give
gets
them
us
the
in,
medicine.
Speaking of that, the story was this Mormon mother, Tennille Farr, I hope I'm getting that name right, was diagnosed with stage 2 Hodgkin's lymphoma when she was pregnant with her 5th child, Gabe. Instead of going through chemotherapy and risking losing her baby, she decided to treat her cancer in Colorado and California where medical cannabis is legal. And it's interesting because we've talked about this in the past. There are absolutely safe ways to do this. There's a children's hospital in Colorado who's already been doing tests on THC and the way it will affect children, and they found that it doesn't affect them. It kind of doesn't.
Yeah.
We've also got new strains, and they're using hemp oils.
What are you talking about?
This is a Mormon mom. CBD. She got refuge in Colorado. Basically, she left all her she had other children, and she was pregnant and with cancer. And instead of doing chemo, she went and.
Well, you're talking about non-THC. You're talking about CBD.
Wait, what?
CBD yeah. oils. Because this woman's probably not taking psychotropic
stuff. She was juicing.
Right. With well, CBD oil.
No. Here's the thing, Justin. We've talked about this because we had a doctor on who educated me a little
bit
on this.
If you don't put the THC in, it doesn't.
No. The THC can be fine in there. If you were to take the plant as it was and juice it up, you can get all the benefits of the THC, but it doesn't – if you don't heat it, it won't affect you psychoactively.
Oh.
So that's – what was that big word that you used before? Decarboxylate?
Yes.
Is that the word? Yeah. If you don't decarboxylate it, then so you get all the benefits without any of the psychoactive.
So you get all the anti-inflammatory without all the psychoactive.
Yeah, because
the thing though is that THC is the cancer killer. So
yeah.
You're not trying to. You want to actually increase the THC as much as you can. You don't want to see your kid stoned, but that's why you build it up. They usually suggest you doing the oil is like a little half a grain of rice or something size of oil, and then you work your way up and try to get up to taking a gram a day. But you don't want to just take a gram a day because you'd be ripped.
Yeah.
You'd be ripped. Like,
well,
ripped.
Well,
I mean, depending on how much
that
you
leads
smoke.
Us to a story about Alex Mandelberg and Justin Ruppel. Put some music on a bed. Put some nice music on a bed.
I'll put something underneath you here. Yeah, go ahead. Tell
like
a story.
Like a classic, like a 1950s.
She was 18 weeks pregnant, and she was with her 5th son.
Wow. It's kind of impressive to hear all these stories that keep coming out now when you have people talking about people who are treating their children or people who are pregnant and using it to treat themselves so that they don't have to use pharmaceutical drugs to treat themselves.
Well,
we talked before about the mother in Pennsylvania who's like, I don't give a damn about your law. I'm treating my child's seizures because fuck your damn laws.
Which is fucking awesome.
Well, there are people across the country right now that have cancer and are treating their cancer while pregnant with chemotherapy, And I mean, that's
they're
that's,
risking losing the child.
Yeah, you're risking losing the child.
I mean, yes.
That's why. That's what her choice was.
I know. And you also have radiation people who are doing both. That, look, it's just it's the
that's
risk.
Just how
it's
it
the
is.
Risk you take because it's like it's it comes like this. The baby can't survive if there's no mom.
Right.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like every and that's one of my favorite things, by the way, about any kind of abortion argument is that's no one ever mentions that. Like, mom kind of matters most because she's the one in charge here.
Yeah. No, it's never talked about.
Meaning that if mom, there's a lot of crap that can go wrong in a pregnancy that can cost a lot. I mean, it costs women more than the money it takes to be in the hospital. It costs them an unbelievable amount of themselves to just to have one. And this woman's on five.
Yeah.
Right?
She had to leave four behind, five. Go to Colorado. And not to – I don't know if you guys – if it sunk quite in, but – This is a Fox News story and a Mormon lady.
Yeah. By the way, this is not Fox like national like Fox News. This is Fox
Salt Lake City.
This is Salt Lake City Fox affiliate from Utah, who's report. Which makes the story kind of funny because they leave out all the details because it's people at Fox who are just like that. She's leaving.
In defense of Christians and Mormons everywhere, the first Bibles were printed on hemp. I mean, that was the easiest form of getting paper.
Lots of things are printed on hemp.
I know, but the irony that it's the Bible. I mean, like the first ones, that's beautiful. Like, I don't know where it went, you know, like where along the way we stopped, but.
Oh, I do.
Yeah.
we're on our way back up, though, which is good. But
well, it's nice
hemp
to see
for
the,
victory.
Yeah.
Jack Herrera had, you know, dug up this old video about, you know, people using hemp for all sorts of things.
Hemp for victory.
Yeah, exactly.
We're going to win with hemp, God damn it.
The year is 1927.
Oh, jeez.
Nah, boys and raw.
We've already creeped on our 20-minute mark. Light that thing up. We're at the 420 mark. Gosh darn it.
All right.
It's time to start smoking it up. Oh, gosh. That'll get the conversations more lively. You got to start ripping the bong apart. Yes, yes. It's so... I do love reading these stories, though, so much. Every time I hear about some place, though, in Mormon Utah where we have Fox News now reporting on it. I remember times where reading these stories, it was always some news story coming from some internet story that was reported by one person and then verified by HighTimes.com.
I know.
Now you see them, though, on CNN. I see them on actual real – they're actual real people reporting now. It's amazing.
It's amazing, but it's also – at the same time, I'm still infuriated that we even have to say this like that. You know, the fact that you even have to say that like that. Like, look, I mean, real people talked about it. By the way,
she was Mormon and it was on Fox.
Right.
That's validation.
No, sure. But cut to that same woman and that same broadcast in whatever. And the story, let's cut to May 5th, which is what? 20 days from now? Well, it's Cinco de Mayo and everybody's out tipping their beers and enjoying inebriation.
No,
and,
I get it.
And then they're following news stories about how to stay safe while you're drunk on the streets at night because you're shit-faced on alcohol.
Well, you're absolutely right, though, for anybody who lives on the East Coast or the West Coast. But I feel like for anybody – if there's anybody listening to this show who lives – in between that, in the flyover states, in middle America, I feel like those are the people who listen to a story like that and go, Fox News, Salt Lake City is reporting on a mother who's
that.
Using those are the people that this is new for.
Yes, I know that it's new, but my point is this. What marijuana's stigmata comes with is hilarious that people would be like, oh my God, what a risque thing they're talking about is a group of people who like to laugh, eat, and sleep, right? Meanwhile, in between the commercial breaks, there are literally ads for beer and liquor, and that is perfectly legal and acceptable. And then they'll come back from the commercial break and they'll talk about, you know, they're like, well, like I said, you know, coming up this weekend, it's the big street fair. Now, last year there was that stabbing, you know, that one guy, you know, Jimmy got a little too drunk, and this will be in, you know, put it in Indiana, North Dakota, could be in my state of Washington, doesn't matter. That's everyday America.
We talked about it on a previous episode, yeah, though, about, you know, with the relevance of alcohol is, could some, you know, with alcohol being so prevalent in America and how America was built on the back of whiskey, basically,
right?
You know, whiskey and tobacco is what built this country. And could our next big export crop be now marijuana? Does marijuana become alcohol and tobacco?
Hemp built this country.
Well, yeah.
Washington grew hemp.
Sure. Yeah. That was his first cash.
But our biggest exports were lumber, tobacco, and whiskey. Like that was our biggest exports.
We were always big in hemp, though, too, internally. But that's not the point.
But do you think that hemp? Do you think that that's where the future of it is where it becomes a where it becomes interstate, and even with Canada now legalizing intercountry commerce.
By the time you and I have lost most of our hair and are salt and peppered, then yes, that will be our number four export will be cannabis, like our number three export is tobacco.
I think it's going to be an import. I think that there are not enough, you know, places to grow. Once if there's widespread legalization, like full-on recreational legalization, we're definitely going to have
stuff. You think we're going to import more than export?
You think we're going to export?
Oh, I think we'll export more. Oh, I think that we grow way more here than anywhere else.
South America?
Here's what happens overnight. Every single one of those cornfields right now that is being pumped subsidy dollars from the federal government to grow ethanol that is completely
useless to make corn syrup and nasty shit.
Immediately, those guys will go, what the fuck are we doing?
Oh, yeah.
This is a 16 times whey crop, just like corn is, except much higher yield, much easier to grow, lower water than the corn. Lower pesticides, all that shit.
We had Luke Wabenga when he talked to us. He even mentioned, he went, people who have huge forests of trees growing on their land down in the South, they don't cut those trees down because they want logging companies to come in and cut them down to pay them for them. The thing is, they come in, they cut those trees down.
They got nothing.
50 years, you have nothing that you can't grow those trees back for another 50 years. Whereas if they were told that they could grow hemp, they'd cut the trees down themselves, grow hemp there, and be making that for paper every single year as a renewable source because you can have an every year harvest.
I know. But that is what
you can have a more than every year harvest if you
can have every few months harvest.
But the reason why we're talking about this and we will still be talking about this when you and I are gray hairs is because what we just mentioned is a complete shakeup of the way we do commerce, period. Right? So right now when everybody, you know, that stupid argument that never ends where people go, you know what?
They bleed an industry dry, basically.
Well, when people make the argument about a flat tax, right? You know, like the one thing that would solve everybody cheating on taxes is if we all had a flat tax. Every year, everybody gets 15 or 12% taken out of their income. That way, no one's cheating. Everybody's taking it, right? Well, the problem is if we did that, what would happen is you would destroy tax attorneys. You'd destroy accountants, you destroy an entire industry based on the IRS. And so subsequently, all those people would just have a career gone.
It's the trickle-down effect.
It's the same thing with the electric car and all these things. It's like everybody
– Yes, but on a much grander scale because everybody pays taxes. It's the same thing with the
paper – that's why hemp's illegal.
Right.
The paper companies, they'd rather cut down trees and make their money because that's where
– It's not just paper though. It's not just paper. You know that. It's everything. If we switch
chemicals, plastics.
I'll take it one step further, and maybe this is because I'm using some of the great products we're talking about right now.
Get deep, baby.
I think the difference is this, and maybe this is too metaphorical, but I think the difference when it comes down to it between alcohol and marijuana, the effect of alcohol tells you, hey, here's some risks, but it really doesn't matter. All right, go ahead and do it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
and marijuana says, hey, here's some risks, why don't you sit and think about those for a while? That's the difference between the two drugs.
And then about 2 seconds in, you go, man, I want some cookies.
Right.
And then you forget about fucking what you were going to do in the right. first place.
Where the alcohol and see the differences and why I don't think marijuana will ever be embraced the way it will be in other countries.
In Vegas.
Like in my act and shit, yeah. But
wait, is that in your act?
Yeah, Justin talks about it in his act.
Yeah, it's like 5 minutes of my act.
He talks about that weed in Vegas.
Where I say America embraces alcohol because it says, hey, take risks, push the limits, do stupid things. Sometimes, I mean, it's in our ads. Look, go exercise. But when you're done, you know, drink a beer. You know, when you're doing all these crazy things and you know what gives you the ability to do that? Beer, right?
Yeah.
Beer does that. And liquor,
everything in America is made better when you're drinking fucking beer.
And that's beer. And then liquor, all the liquor ads are people in suits and ties, and they're like, listen, we are very successful, but when we're done being successful, the way we get drunk is this shit, right?
Yeah.
And then wine, they say the same thing. It's just like, hey, when we're in the daytime.
And all of them, by the way, at the end of their commercials telling you to drink their product and get drunk, tell you to drink responsibly and not drink and drive.
Yes,
it's amazing.
You never see any of them use their product. It's illegal to show
Yeah,
that.
It's illegal to
they
show
They can't actually saying. Show it coming up to their lips.
Have you seen this season of South Park at all?
I don't think so.
Oh, there's a great they're talking about freemium apps, but one of the big things they talk about is that we'll make commercials to tell people not to use our product because we're making so much money from people buying our product. And I'm like, yeah, the alcohol company's been doing it for years. And then South Park made a fake commercial in the middle of their episode, which was a drinking commercial, which was just a bunch of like it's hot people drinking and awesome cars, and the voice is just like, cars, drinking, hot women, you drinking with a hot woman, you having sex with her later on, drinking more while driving this fast car, drinking more, going out, partying in a club while drinking, drink more, you fucking pussy, but drink responsibly.
It was such a great message. I'm like, yeah, that has been that
alcohol industry for so long.
But here's why.
Yeah.
And exactly what I'm saying is the reason why that's America. Consume, keep consuming, right? April has not smoked since we started because she's turned it down. Let me ask.
I did smoke.
Oh, no, she had it once.
I mean, like once, responsibly. But that's the difference. You give somebody alcohol, one drink, and they're like, I feel a good buzz. Would you like another one? Yeah.
Yeah. I get what you're saying. It can be harder sometimes to say no to number two.
Because that's not their fault. That's what the drug does.
I normally don't say no, but I get a little too quiet if I smoke too much. I get a little in my
and
head.
That's
and
not American.
My...
That's what I'm saying. That's not American.
If I had a proper balance of whiskey, as opposed if my whiskey was higher than my cannabis intake, the loud Irish bitch I would be.
April's whole podcasting persona is it's like this giant like four-way hanging weight system of like there's Jameson's on this one, then there's some beer over on this one, and there's a lot of weed over here, and there's some news stories here, and there's a jalapeno pepperoni gluten-free pizza on the fourth one, and if all four of those can balance.
Can we hit pause and order some? I'm not kidding.
That took the longest possible way for me to say the reason I don't think weed will come into the forefront the way alcohol is and be our number one export, is because it's essentially against the whole consumer idea. I don't think many people smoke weed
restaurants
the way they drink.
Will make money.
Yes, but they'll make money on their food.
Yeah.
Right? They won't make – when you go to a restaurant, for example, when you sit down, let's say it's a restaurant that sells weed.
They're going
to
charge more for the food. Watch.
Right. They will. They will. But how many people –
Of course.
All right. So let's think about this, right? Let's think about this realistically.
It's Oreo
the bacon
cookies,
wrapped
$5.
Hot dogs. The bacon-wrapped hot dogs outside the club are going to be $25. Right.
Let's think about this realistically. If you sit down with a group of four people and you haven't seen each other in a while and you're going to sit down at a restaurant that sells liquor, right? You're going to spend 2 hours there. Each one of you will probably get three, maybe four drinks,
yeah,
right?
Probably.
In 2 hours, three, maybe four drinks. That's four drinks per person times four. That's what, 16 drinks on the table?
Yeah.
Okay. Now let's say we're all sitting down. There's four people sitting down at a restaurant that sells weed and food, just like it's alcohol and food. I don't think the whole table is getting the equivalent amount of liquor per weed. Everybody might get a joint or a blunt and pass it around the table once, and the average American would be like, boom, we're fucking high, and they'd start eating food. I don't think they would continually go, next blunt, next blunt, next
okay,
blunt,
but here's,
next blunt.
Yeah, I don't know. It depends on who you're hanging out with.
Well, depends on who you're hanging out with.
Yes,
but hold on.
Sure.
What I would say, what my combat is, because I've heard this idea pitched around a lot, what a lot of people are talking about is the idea of the pairing scenario. The same way that people will sit down nowadays, those fucking wine snobs who are like, oh, well, this is a perfect Pinot Noir. And,
well, they're doing that, explaining the terpenes in the flowers.
Yeah,
like,
so
oh, it has
the same idea that
– and then a little bit of oak in the back of my throat.
That if you could go through a tasting ceremony
that's
where it's like,
oak,
well, here's a steak that's been smoked on this. That this steak was smoked on hickory chips with a garlic cheddar mashed potato and a Yoda OG to vaporize. And you just take like two hits off of a vaporizer that they have. And like, okay, I have the taste of the marijuana in my mouth and I eat some of the steak and I eat
some
of the-
I'm really – can we order some pizza?
It's funny because April's hungry. I'm just pissed. I'm just pissed. Stop it.
You don't think that that's
stop
what it could become?
Just stop it. If that's what it becomes, I'm going to be really upset. Just stop it, all right? Look, to quote our good friend Joe Dosh, quit futzing around, all right?
I love Joe.
We all love Joe.
We're doing this for two reasons. If you're drinking, you're doing it to feel drunk. And if you're smoking it, you're doing it to feel high. Now, if you're doing it for cancer or something else and you had no desire and you were backed into a corner, that's another story. Don't play that game with me. But everybody else is doing it for the same two reasons. You want to feel altered. So don't bullshit me around. This is a pairing.
Well, that's
you're
what I was going to say.
You like being high.
I agree with you when you say you want to feel altered, because I will say that. It's like, the high thing, I feel like there's such this stigma that it's like, oh, you want to feel high, like it's a bad thing. And I go, that's that part where I always have to tell people, I go, no. Me saying I want to feel high is not like, oh, I want to feel high, I want to get fucked up. It's like, no. When I'm sober, I'm very hyperactive and I can't concentrate on one thing at a time. So for me, feeling high is feeling calm.
It's altered.
Yeah, it's altered.
It's every drug comes with an altering.
If
right?
How you feel in your brain completely sober is something that drives you crazy and you can't handle, this is a way to alter that state. That's what you're saying.
What I'm saying is this. Each drug that I have ever experimented with, whether that be from sugar all the way up to
– oh, sugar's a bitch.
Justin's a sugar junkie, man.
You know, my caffeine intake, which is serious.
Yeah.
You know, I know well of caffeine. And people who say it's not a drug, you can say it again. To the days I did supplemental drugs for the weightlifting, to weed, and
did you take roids when you were lifting?
No roids.
Okay, just supplements.
Everything that came legally that didn't come with the anabolic tagline, you know, like hemocell dilators and creatine with a whole bunch of vitamin stackers that made my piss look nuclear.
Deer antler.
No, I never went down the stupid deer antler fad. Thank God I got out before then. But my point is this. Every one of the drugs comes with an altering, right? And some of the drugs, the quote-unquote harder ones, come with a nasty side effect, which is the frontal lobe is affected more than some of the other drugs, meaning cocaine, alcohol, mostly cocaine, alcohol, methamphetamine, where the frontal lobe is actually gone – right after, right? And when that happens, now it's very difficult to control your impulses. It's much easier to say yes to things.
It says evacuate. So.
Yeah, exactly.
She went for it. She went for it.
That's the problem with those drugs, and that's why alcohol is so tough to say no to, because your frontal lobe, the first thing it says is like, you know, when you get a drink and you're like, should I go over and talk to that person? I don't think so. But by the time the beer is done, you're like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm interesting. Right?
And it's, no, there's no better.
If you stayed there, you'd be fine, but you won't. You'll get it the second one because your brain now says, if I'm interesting now, I'm really interesting at beer number two.
I've always wondered which one is the bigger confidence builder, weed or alcohol?
Alcohol, 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 alcohol.
Is alcohol the big
jackpot?
There's not even a question. There's not even a question.
Is that the same for you, April? Marijuana or alcohol? What's the bigger confidence builder?
Duh. Alcohol.
Alcohol.
Yeah, exactly.
You
got to give a speech in front of 1,000 people. And, you know, if I ask the average person in America, would you like a shot or a toke off of a pipe? People, 10 times out of 10 would go, come on, give me a shot.
Okay, I'm claiming one instance, which is just myself. But when we were up in Portland earlier, because Justin, by the way, is the comedian I was up in Portland with.
It's a case by case basis.
Before our shows, every time I remember when I was getting nervous because I was about to go on stage and I was starting to get, because I'm a super nervous performer, I would always look at Justin and go, I'm sober right now. We need to go smoke weed. I'd always say that. I wouldn't go, I'm sober right now. I need to go get a drink. I'd go, I'm sober right now. I need to go smoke
weed.
Yes,
but you are not the average person. You're not even close. You are so far to the limit.
Push it to the limit.
You are to weed what Charlie Sheen is to life. All right?
I'm already finding it myself.
Give me a winning.
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 I mean, seriously, folks of the Cantilinguist, I don't know how many people are listening right now, but let me tell you something a little about your host, because I know him more than anybody you're going to have on this fucking podcast.
That is true. I've been on the road with this man.
I have spent more time in bed with this man in the same bed than anybody else but his girlfriend.
Yeah,
I will tell you this.
That's actually a very true thing.
If he ever uses himself as an example of, yeah, but for me, weed, sorry, you can't, all right? You and that's not possible.
That was by accident.
Appropriate.
It was appropriate. It was good. Still, why am I such a bad example, though?
All right, I can only use it in metaphor because I don't want it. I don't want to embarrass.
No,
you.
Fucking embarrass me. You're on my podcast. I'm all about being embarrassed on my podcast.
No, I insist.
April insists, embarrass the shit out of me.
I will rip one on.
Go ahead. Go ahead. It's okay. In front of the microphone, be honest.
All right. I'm going to try to pick out one that won't slander us.
Slander me.
No, us.
Oh,
idiots.
No, fuck, if you're scared of slandering yourself,
come on. Don't incriminate
That's what I'm trying to do.
Don't incriminate yourself. Only incriminate me.
That'll be for the next visit.
That's what I'm trying to do. All right, that's what I'm trying.
He's trying to think, what has Alex done that I didn't join him in doing?
That I'm willing to admit.
I think that was a toilet.
Let's say we're watching.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, wow. Let's say we're watching, I don't know.
I didn't do that, sorry.
There we go.
This year's Super Bowl. Okay,
yeah.
And you made a call to most people. To most people. And you're like, hey, we're having a party. Mm-hmm. And there's going to be alcohol. And we're going to have some weed here. If you want to smoke some weed. Right? You'd kind of say it like that, too.
Yeah.
Right? People would come over. And people would assume that you'd go, hey, here's the booze over here. It's in the freezer, or it's in the cooler, and there's some alcohol at the shelf and some mixers, and here's a joint that we're gonna light at halftime, right? That would be the normal thing.
Yeah.
What Alex and I did is I got over there about 2 hours before game time, or hour and a half before game time. I was like, hey, Alex, I'm here. And he's like, hey, buddy, we're here.
I know what you're saying.
And I am holding right now in my hands a pill bottle that would be given to a senior citizen who had bad arthritis.
For like 50 years.
For like a month-long supply of her horse pills. And it's just holding weed in it. And by the end of the Super Bowl, this was empty. Now, this is a half ounce of weed. Half ounce.
Wait, no, you're not talking about the Super Bowl. You're talking about New Year's, actually. I know what the night you're talking about. You're talking about New Year's.
New Year's.
This is New Year's, which is right around the same time.
A half ounce is gone.
Yeah, we smoked a half ounce in a night.
Keep in mind, folks, I don't drink that much. I played a game of beer pong and then stood by the bong, witnessing everybody who smoked. I will sit here and guarantee this story to my dying day. Alex's entire guest list accounted for 1/6 to 1/5 of this bottle smoked. 1/6 to 1/5. Alex and myself accounted for the rest of it.
Yeah, it was pretty ridiculous.
Without a doubt.
Me and Justin that night on New Year's. This was, by the way, this was at my mother's house that we were having this New Year's bash.
Do you care to change your statement about the people not smoking blunt after blunt?
No, I won't, April. And I'll tell you why.
Thank you.
No, I'll tell you why. Because
he likes that.
No. He does. Because what you didn't ask is, I think Alex and my jobs are the most ridiculous jobs anybody could ever ask for. Right?
Right.
I get paid to tell jokes, and this guy gets paid to go.
It's true.
Now, those two jobs.
That's what you do.
That's what he does.
That's what I do.
Those two jobs are so ridiculous that they allow us.
No. Just the way.
Yeah, that.
That's true. It. I get paid to do ADR. I do sound on movies. That, for those who don't know, who haven't heard before, I do ADR on television movies.
That's what he does. That's what I do.
I do that professionally.
Actually, you shouldn't have done that right there because we.
That's a union contract right there.
Right.
I get union contracts are going.
My point is this.
Have you ever got paid to fart?
No,
but I have gotten paid to replace a bunch of curse words for Jonah Hill.
Now, hold on. Yeah, that's true.
Because he didn't want to swear?
He didn't want to come in
and
do it.
Before I forget it, because you're gonna have this conversation with him all day, and he will tell you.
I'll tell you all about it.
IMDb list.
Yeah, no.
No.
I just replaced his dirty words with clean words for television.
No. He'll ruin movies for you because I'll be watching.
You're that guy.
Oh no, I've watched several films, and I've been like, wow, I really enjoy this film.
You're that guy.
I really enjoy this film, and then Alex just say something like, "Give me a military call out."
On the left.
Just to give me a longer military call out.
3:15 coming in. On the left. Watch your fire.
And I'll hear that and I'll go, oh, that's fucking Alex.
Yeah.
And then this is no longer a movie for me. This is something that Alex got a paycheck for. And we probably went golfing. And he probably said, hey, you know where I was today? I was paying for this round going, 3:15 on your left, coming in. I'm like, yeah, I know. Because I was trying to enjoy 2 hours of my life where I take a mythical trip into a journey into a place that doesn't exist, and then you broke the fourth fucking wall with your stupid furry face.
Justin came over the other day, and we were watching it's not a good movie, the new movie Transcendence that Johnny Depp was in.
And you're in this too.
And in the first 20 minutes of the movie, in the same scene, I replaced a line for Cillian Murphy as well as – or Cillian, whatever, however you pronounce his name, as well as them using a call-out that I used in the background of the scene. Mm-hmm. So it's like three times in a second and a half you hear my voice, and Justin recognized it and immediately is like, change the fucking channel. I don't need to hear you.
So my
you want to know how movie. I'm upset right now? Is that you're that guy whenever I'm watching a good movie on like TBS or something.
And they put a bad swear word in.
And they cut out the swear words.
You know what? I will.
You're that guy.
I will have you know. I will have you know right now. The most prominent one I ever did that for was Get Him to the Greek, where I did Jonah Hill. And I matched him so well that they didn't even use me to just pull lines out. They actually would replace full lines of dialogue with what I did. So, boom. I nailed I nailed his voice. I nailed Jonah Hill's whiny voice.
So that's a good technique to have in ADR is to be able to
match.
All right. So my point is this. If you're asking me or him, hey, what is your experience with responsible drug use? It's like asking Keith Richards, hey, Keith, what's your opinion on intravenous drug use? Like, it's ridiculous because
That analogy was well worth the wait. My interruption and digression. It was.
Alex and I, in our time spent together doing comedy, where there's so much fucking time to kill, have probably done that kind. We're that irresponsible in the eyes of the typical American,
right? So, like people going to Vegas and blowing loads of money.
Yes, or more apt.
You're only proving my point more.
in what way?
I asked if you wanted to, you know, you told a great story about Alex and you smoking almost a half ounce of weed. And I asked if you wanted to change your statement about people in Vegas
not wanting to smoke blunt after blunt.
Yes, but the difference was
that not everybody's blessed to be like you two with fun jobs.
No, the difference is not everybody has a job that's going to build up their tolerance where they'd be able to take that. Most of the people who came over were drinking so much that they took one hit of this stuff and they're like, oh my God, I'm going to puke, or oh my God, I can't take this. People would sit down and have panic attacks.
Ooh, that's
Alex and I would take the bong back and be like, you fucking amateurs. And that's not a normal smoker. That's not a normal weed smoker. Normal weed smokers, like every once in a while on a weekend, would be like, give me that joint.
Yeah, no, that's certainly
not the people who are listening to this podcast, who are wonderful people who are probably just like Alex and myself.
Well, I would assume so.
So the last story, I don't think we're going to get to Willie Nelson, but the last story we want to talk about. So apparently Tommy Chong was given the key to a city by the mayor and in return decided to give the mayor back a joint. What city was that in? It was in Colorado, right?
Mm-hmm. Hazel Park.
Hazel Park in Colorado, which, by the way, I feel like I want to point out because so many people who know the story of Tommy Chong and everyone, you hear about Tommy Chong, you go, oh, I bet if you hear him speak live, it's a whole lot of, dude. And I just want to say, as someone who got to hear him speak live, it's surprising how eloquent the fucking man is. He's very well spoken for a dude who is summarized as the spokesman for pot.
Right. Now, let's flip it.
Uh-oh.
This guy is known as the guy who's constantly drunk all the time. Right? He's being given the key to the city. Give him the award speech.
Hey, listen, everybody. Why is everybody so far away? Listen.
Hey, man, there are like three of you that look the same standing next to each other.
He has prostate cancer and he's putting hash oil up his butt.
That is true.
Power to him.
No, that's what I'm saying. That's why weed is so much better, is that he can go up there and give an eloquent speech while his now the next man behind him, the most drunk man in history.
Everybody. It's true. It's definitely
it's
true.
It's Barney Fife.
Yeah.
Fife. So this Hazel Park place in Michigan, so that's like, you know, Michigan can use some revenue. We know this.
Oh, this is in Michigan.
Yeah, yeah.
Not Colorado.
Oh, not Colorado.
No,
okay.
this is Michigan, Hazel Park, Michigan.
Okay.
And they legalized possession and use for adults 21 and over.
Private property.
On private property.
Which is kind of – that is kind of cool for Michigan to do. Michigan's one of those – that, like we talked about, those flyover states, those in-between states, where that's where I feel like, at least in my opinion, the big battle for marijuana being acceptable in America, that's where the battle is going to be fought, because we know the coasts are acceptable. We've already seen California, Oregon, Washington, New York, Maine, Boston, even Virginia, two Carolinas, Georgia, Florida. I feel like you're not going to see as much battle.
Michigan's
as
big,
you're
going to
see in a Michigan and Illinois.
They still don't have
that's a big deal.
They still don't have a High Times Cup on the East Coast yet, and they have a High Times in Michigan already. They had one last year.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, so Michigan.
They're getting that was in Clio.
Shout out Michigan. Yeah. Shout out.
Hey. Yeah, lots of shots. I just
apparently April's shout outs include shooting guns into the air.
I was just, you know, is it Michigan that they could use the revenue right now?
Yeah,
is
they
that
could.
Is it there, you know,
that is very
Detroit,
true.
It's not just a rumor.
It's very true. Detroit is broke as shit.
I mean, shutting off water and shit.
I don't know. I mean, I certainly hope. And it's my dream for America.
I have a friend that lives there now.
Yeah. It's my dream for America that alcohol or that weed will have its day in the sun as the reason to go and do entertainment. Because as it is right now, if you want to go out on a weekend.
And it's going to pull everybody out of poverty. That's what everybody is. The reason why everybody's jumping on this, particularly Republicans, is because it's pulling people out of poverty. They see the money in it. The Republicans and all the people with the money, they're trying to get, you know, get in from the bottom and grab all the property.
Started from the bottom, now we're here.
Yeah. No, I mean, but they're...
I fucking hate Drake, I'm sorry.
I've learned to accept it.
Well, anyways, we do have to wrap up. Now we've come to the end of our hour as it was. Justin, what you got coming up in the next couple weeks? What you got going on, buddy?
When is this airing?
Oh, this will be airing on Saturday. So.
Saturday. Wow. Okay.
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow. Fantastic. Tomorrow. Next week, that would be the 16th through the 18th. I'll be in Seattle in Bellevue, Washington.
You're going to be at the Parlor?
That's right. The Parlor Live Comedy Club.
Yeah, if you're up in Washington, if you haven't been to the Parlor, go to the Parlor. It's the greatest comedy club in these United States of America. It's awesome. It's a great theater. They've got great staff. They've got great comedians. Justin is one of the best comedians that I've had the pleasure of working with in my career is sitting in this room with us right now in Justin.
And
so please go see him because it's a great show.
John Reap will be there. It is going to be spectacular. Winner of Last Comic Standing.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
It's always nice to go back home, and then I'll be traveling back on the day of 420.
Well, I really, really, really hope your pilot is not celebrating the day.
Do you think pilots?
I do.
Pilots don't do it.
If you saw that movie with Denzel Washington, you certainly wouldn't. You'd think that they're doing all the drugs under the sun.
Yeah.
Or the German guy that just flew into the mountain.
Oh, yeah, that one too. But he was crazy.
What was Denzel doing again? Oh, that's right, drinking.
No, he was also doing coke.
Oh, great. The two drugs I mentioned affecting the frontal lobe.
Call back,
Ruppel wins.
Call it back.
Spikes the mic.
Spike the mic. Whoosh.
Clears the bong.
Goddamn right.
Yeah, damn right.
Winning. What about you, April? What's happenings with you?
Next week, I'm going to be in the Bay Area for HempCon.
Ooh-hoo-hoo. Excited.
And then I'll be back here.
Oh, are you excited for HempCon?
It's work. I'll be with Honeypot.
All right, go Honeypot.
We're launching CBD, all CBD line.
Oh, awesome. Very nice. That's really cool.
Honey and topical and lotion now, too. I'm making lotion.
I might be picking up some of that lotion from you. If you guys have not checked out Honeypot, check out Honeypot because they make some really, really fucking awesome products. This Friday, I will be at the Hollywood Hotel with Performing Under the Influence. We've got a pretty awesome show. Our last show last month was the best show that we've ever gotten to put on there, which was a lot of fun. You could also check me over on riffopolis.com with my other podcast, The Cold World of Sports, as well with Teddy Tutson, as well as Vulgar Tech. With the good Reverend Mitch, who's out of town right now. But we'll be back as soon as he's back in town. Other than that,
thanks for coming, Justin.
Thank you so much for
having me. Thank you. Good to have you.
Sorry it took me so long to get here.
Yeah. Oh, thank you, Crab Diving Network. Thank you, Riffopolis Studios, for having us. We will see you next week, you crab diving freaks.